Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping, and have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle all your mailing and shipping needs, with rates up to 88% off USPS and UPS. Add flexibility to your day with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's Stamps.com/program.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Chiefs insider Nate Taylor over at The Athletic. He's presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. Nate, I'll start with just how you handled the weekend. Denver flight issues. I don't think you guys made it out there, if I'm not mistaken, right? There was no reason to actually fly to Denver to cover this thing.
Yeah, correct. I went back and forth on if I needed to cover this game in person, and then Mother Nature told me, "Yeah, why don't you not pack?" So
smart.
My flight got canceled pretty much as the team was on the tarmac waiting to get the clearance for takeoff. Honestly, so I watched the game, you know, with my son Hayden, with my wife Holly.
Not much to watch.
I mean, what could stay awake, guys. I'll be honest.
Oh, it was awful.
I think I slept through some of the third quarter.
It was a third preseason game, but even worse because like everybody just wanted to get to the playoffs at this point in time. Was there anything you truly took away that you think is, I guess, valuable for this year's team?
I don't think you can play DJ Humphries. I'm sorry. I don't know if that was Sometimes you make plans and God laughs, and God also gives you Joe Tooney, okay? And he gives you Mike Caliendo. You're asking a lot, right? I mean, one of the benefits of watching Carson Wentz, you know, in a different light was supposed to be like, hey, at least he'll have like DeAndre Hopkins for like a quarter and like Xavier Worthy, and who knows? I mean, Hollywood Brown needs to get a couple more snaps. And then Andy Reid and Matt Nagy were like, are you insane? No, we'll give him Juju Smith-Schuster, Justin Watson, and Nico Remigio.
Nice catch by Remigio, though, you know?
Yeah. I think the person who actually benefited the most was Nico Remigio, because if you remember, he fumbled in the Christmas Day game as a punt returner against the Steelers. Thankfully, the Chiefs recovered the ball, so most people don't remember that. So he needed a bounce-back game, and look, he demonstrates that he can be an effective slot receiver when given the opportunity, because at least the Broncos were definitely trying to win the game, and they played their starters the entire game, essentially. So I thought maybe he was like the biggest benefactor of it. It's like, hey, Nico has legitimate tape against a legitimate opponent, doing pretty well, which means he'll probably be back on the team, or like, you know, he may have a little bit more options I'm not sure what his free agent status is in terms of he's restricted or not. But for DJ Humphries, it's like, hey, man, it's not really about you at this point. It's unfortunate that you only got two games. One of them did not include Patrick Mahomes. The other game, you couldn't finish with Patrick Mahomes because of a hamstring injury. You had no training camp. You had no preseason. You had no padded practices before you went out there and tried to block Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa. So it's just unfortunate. Like, the timing never worked out. And watching the nightmare that I think flashed between every Chiefs fan's eyes is, and again, this is probably when I like started napping. I think it was right after this drive, was the idea of like, okay, Andy's like, we got to put some points on the board. We got to give Carson a chance. Okay, I might call a decent play here. Okay, it's fourth down. We're kind of in no man's territory. Yeah, let's go for it. Let's get the boys, you know, let's give them something. And then Nick Pitino went right by DJ Humphries. And, yeah, we don't need to see that again. I'm sorry. Like, that guy's going to be in the playoffs. He's going to play on, Sunday night or whatever. He might be terrifying for the starting left tackle, right tackle for the Buffalo Bills when it comes to Josh Allen, or at least getting pressure on Josh Allen. So that was legitimate competition as much as you could get between now and obviously the division round. So I just think we never saw that with Joe Tooney. So why would I put any level of comfort from Patrick's standpoint in jeopardy because we're trying, you know, our plan just didn't work. Like that injury and the timing and the coming off the ACL and obviously that low light, it pretty much confirmed to me that, like, Andy Reid might still put him out there, but I'm not sure the juice is worth the squeeze when Joe Tooney's been not having that same issue.
Nate, what if I told you the biggest thing out of the game for me is that for the first time in 5 years and multiple Super Bowls, I have some concerns over the kicking game. Harrison Butker does not look right. It all looks out of rhythm or out of sync or off in some way, and has since the day he's come back, in my opinion.
Yeah.
At what point are we going to just be like, they're creatures of habit and rhythm, and he's never found it again?
And they told us, even as they were bringing him back, what I thought was maybe a week too soon, when Matthew Wright just made all his kicks, was the AFC Special Teams Player of the Week. Yes, it doinked, but it went in. Like, let's not forget that. Man. Dave told us, he's not going to be 100% for the rest of the year. And it's not like, okay, that's similar to the 22 season, right? Everybody remembers Patrick's high ankle sprain, but throughout the entire course of the season, they had to manage Harrison Butker's high ankle sprain. Well, this is not that. This is coming off a knee surgery. You're not going to change your technique, which is going to put, you know, more pressure on the knee that you just had surgically repaired. And yeah, now we put you in the most pressure pack situations, which you've been clutch. You've been the Adam Vinatieri of this era. You've been a better kicker than Justin Tucker. But if he misses one on the 18th, by the way, I think the Chiefs will play on the 18th, ladies and gentlemen. Set your calendars now. They'll probably play on that Saturday night. It's going to be cold. It's going to be dark. It's going to be a brick. If he misses one, fool, buddy.
He couldn't even hit an altitude.
And he didn't get another opportunity, which is not great either. So mentally, you're just – I'm not saying you're thinking about that the whole 2 weeks, but you would like to get a redo, you know? You would like to get a chance to sort of redeem yourself, which he, of course, did in Cleveland in his first game back after, you know, his 4 or 5 week time on the IR. The only bright side to this is you have the world's best football player. So you give him 4 downs if you're on the plus side of the field, and you kind of live with the results. I know Dan Campbell has ridden that to a 15-2 record, and he deserves a lot of credit with Jared Goff and their ability to, you know, stay poised when it's the fourth down situations, whether it's in the second quarter, third quarter. But, you know, how much, like, I don't know if, because of all the things I just said, circumstance-wise, how long will Andy Reid give him a leash if he misses one in the first quarter, or if he misses an important kick that, hey, maybe you can go up 2 scores right before the half? Instead, he misses it and it's still a 6-point game or it's still a 7-point game. How much of a leash does he get? But again, it's going to get colder, it's going to get darker, and that thing's going to get even more brick-ish trying to kick a field goal. That's, you know, potentially whether or not you move on in the postseason. It's a puzzling decision. Because do you limit his range? I guess that's the question. You know, can you help the accuracy if you say, we're not going to let you try a 55-yarder? We're just going to treat it more conventional, like, hey, your range is like 48 and in. Do you sort of start to mitigate it to some degree so that his accuracy isn't compromised by the fact that he's trying to power the ball when he doesn't have, like, the full strength in his leg and especially in his plant knee?
Definitely going to be something we'll be talking about heading into the divisional round game and keeping an eye on during that matchup as well. Before we get to the rest of the playoff field, because I want to get your perspective on this weekend with the AFC games, what are you hearing this offseason about potentially some interviews and maybe some personnel movement? We know there's some reporting out there that Mike Bergonzi, Chiefs assistant GM, has been requested for an interview, at least with New York. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And then also Matt Nagy.
Now, look. I don't know what's going to happen with Matt Nagy, Q. I don't know. And in fact, I'd say it might not happen, right? There are a lot more scintillating younger options. Ben Johnson, there are more well-established first-year coaches who are entering the retread standpoint. I don't know if you read on the athletic.com, but we gave Mike Vrabel a lot of coffee, kids. Which,
well, there are a lot of teams who want him.
Which signal to me, yeah, he will start the carousel or the second wave of the carousel, which is like, okay, once he goes, then the dominoes will start to fall. So, you know, I love Mike Vrabel, by the way. Very good coach. Previ's really fooled him on the Darius Sneed trade. And then they looked up and they were like, please, so don't. We don't even have the first pick in the third round. Fire this man immediately. And you're like, he wasn't even a part of the Will Levis decision, but okay, cool. Tennessee, keep sputtering into whatever you're doing. So in light of all of this, I don't think there's much traction with Matt Nagy unless he blows the doors off or if Mike Bergonzi goes to the wall for this man. Now, we all saw that there was a chance, potentially back in the day, that like, hey, Chicago has a job. Hey, like Ryan Pace could, you know, be exited for Ryan Poles, which could lead to like Eric Bieniemy. That did not happen, ladies and gentlemen. Eric Bieniemy never got the call. So it won't surprise me if Mike Bergonzi, who's from, you know, the East Coast, who's very good at his job, gets the opportunity. But you can't pair this man with Ryan. You can't.
Just for
you
fun.
You can't do it.
No, God, no. Please don't do it. Rex Ryan there would just be such a joke.
I'm just not taking the job if it's Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan or Arthur Smith. I saw they're interviewing Arthur Smith. That's another guy. I can't believe it.
Nah. I mean, you just do it for due diligence, and I appreciate that. Because you have time now. I think what is so interesting from like when I first started covering the league to where we are now is the league has actually implemented like, hey man, take your time. Like, this doesn't need to be done in 4 days, okay? Like, you're gonna get the whole postseason, essentially. You're going to get until Super Bowl Sunday to kind of like make your pick. And then you bring your staff together. Then you go to the combine. And like, that's a more traditional style. We don't have to do this nonsense that we did back in the Old West where you fired somebody on Black Monday and you were like, quote unquote, had a handshake agreement on Thursday. Like, we shouldn't do that. So again, having more time allows you to do more due diligence, which should allow you to, you know, fulfill the Rooney rule more than once. But I digress.
For fun, if Matt Nagy just took a job, would they just promote Blamier? Would they bring back Kafka? Like, what do you want us to think they do at OC?
Oh, I'm so happy you mentioned his name. What's going to happen to Mike Kafka?
They wanted him to stay so bad, Nate. You remember they turned down an interview once? They wouldn't even let someone talk to the man once.
Right. Bring him home. And the only reason I want to remind people, too, the other reason why Mike Kafka left was because Brian Daboll had to beg this man, please call the plays. I swear I'll let you call the plays. I promise I'll let you call the plays. All right, after a year, I'm going to call the plays.
Yeah, that lasted one season.
And so it's like, it's so funny how the game works. It's like, dog, I promise you, you're going to get to call all these plays. Hey, Daniel Jones had a career year. We went to the playoffs. Yeah, man, I'm going to take over now because, you know, I got a stunt on him. I got to show what I'm about. I'm Brian Daboll out here. That's what I do. Wow, that hasn't gone well.
Kept
since
his job.
Daniel Jones. Yeah, I mean, you know, it is what it is, right? So people are saying, well, what about Doug Peterson? And I'm like, no, baby. Mike Kafka's where it's at. Bring him back, which is hilarious because it could happen, I guess, theoretically. I don't know what Doug Peterson's going to do. He may take a year off. You know, he may try to be an offensive coordinator somewhere else if Matt Nagy stays, of course. But let's say, to your point, if Matt Nagy gets, like, the job in – it'd be hilarious if he got the job in Jacksonville. but like, let's say he gets the job, right? I mean, you want to – maybe they would promote Joe Blamier. I think he's a reasonable candidate, obviously. You know, he's been here quite a bit, so he knows the whole system. Obviously, he and Patrick have a pretty good relationship. Would you do that more than, like, bring Doug Peterson back? But, again, you ain't seen Mike Kafka in the bar in a while, and she's back, baby. Can I buy you a drink?
What about out in Vegas, though? Is Antonio Pierce going to actually keep his job? They haven't made a decision yet.
Hey, what is Mr. Davis doing? I only say that, like, tongue-in-cheek. Literally, what are you doing, man?
You can't afford it, man.
Yeah, is that what it is?
The Aces? You worried about the Aces? You getting ready for the Aces?
He can't be having. How many coaches is he paying still? Like four?
I don't know if the Gruden contract is through yet. It's crazy. Hey, man, he's just like, look, that season's over. Let me worry about my, like, contending top-of-the-league championship Las Vegas Aces, baby. Wait, I'm saying, what? Tom Brady wants me to get on the phone? For who? For what? Huh? You want to win? Like, no! So, if you think that Mike Vrabel ain't answering the phone, which I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I would tell Mike Vrabel, don't you answer a single phone call from the Raiders.
I wouldn't.
If Ben Johnson is like, nah, I'm good. Okay, then we'll just run this back next year.
Jeez. Next year's draft class good at quarterback? Not really, Mr. Davis.
It's a problem, Nate.
I don't know what they're gonna do.
It's a problem. I mean, I don't know any other way to put it. Hey, by the way, since this is the only chance we'll get to ask you, of the four teams the Chiefs could possibly face, we understand the most likely. But if you were the Chiefs and you got to hand pick one of those four, you got to see in the next round, who would it be? I think it's the Steelers for me, and then the Texans.
Okay, I have a different opinion on this, right? Because I know Andy Reid; he'll never say this publicly, and I think he told him and Steve Spagnuolo to be like, "Hey, man, just." We only got to be out here for 3 hours. Only 3 hours.
Sure.
If Andy Reid could get another crack at Sean Payton, he will absolutely pants this man in front of him.
Well, sure. I would love the Broncos to upset the Bills, too. I mean, yeah.
Absolutely. Pull his pants down, point at him, and laugh, okay? Like, now, it's improbable that the Broncos will probably beat the Buffalo Bills. I understand that. The Bills are a far better team. They've been in the playoffs. This is a very young group, so I understand what Sean Payton's doing. But, hey, you never know. What's a one-game sample size, kids? If, and by the way, I don't think the seventh seed has ever won a game yet in this new format, so we're really just doing this for giggles. If the Broncos win, right, and that immediately means that that's the Chiefs' opponent, can you imagine – the way Steve Spagnuolo looked on Sunday, and then you could tell me 2 weeks later, he said, they don't get another year. just screaming from the top of his lung, engage eight, bring the house, overload, simulated pressures, double A-gap pressures, like corner pressures, like deep safety pressures. Like, I just can't imagine like what world he will put Bo Nix in his second ever postseason game in Arrowhead Stadium when, you know, the scoreboard, as I'm sure Andy Reid will remind his players the entire week leading up to the game. Oh, yeah, 38. No, there's no reason I mentioned that number. 38, guys, 38. So I just think if it was up to the Chiefs, they would love to put the Broncos back in their place.
Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from The Athletic. Love it, man. Appreciate it. It's postseason time. We'll get another week to have you on next week at least. So thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. And I think my back's okay. I've finished shoveling. And please, Lord, don't let it snow ever again this month.
For the rest of the year, I'm good.